today. What's the market up to now? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, World Notice Post, covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I'm joined by Tony Lecantro from Alto Capital. Hi, Tony.
Evening, Martin. Good to be back. And viewers might notice the improved sound.
So you've got a really good microphone now. It makes a hell of a difference.
I actually lashed out. I felt the wealth effect, and I bought a Rode USB microphone for $149.
Yep.
And it's changed my life. And I was reading an article that the founder of Rode Microphones bought Kurt Cobain's guitar that he played on MTV Unplugged. I think it was, God knows how many millions it was, but it set a record. So great mic. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, no, that's good. I use Rodes here as well, and they really do make a big difference. And, you know, it amazes me, Tony, but we get more criticisms about audio than we do about the pictures.
Actually, the number one criticism is about my two screens, which I have in the background,
right,
and the way I look. But the laugh's on me, Martin, because I'm dating a nine, who loves me for my personality and my brains. So I'm going to read the comments. Someone will say, oh, look, Lecantro doesn't have hair, right? Well, actually, I do, but God gifted me the worst head of hair. So I used to have gel and I was a cop. So I used to get police hat hair. So I shaved it off and now I'm Vin Diesel with brains.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, yeah, no, I just let the comments roll off. You know, there'll always be a few people who have interesting perspectives. Anyway, look, let's talk about the market, right? The market, what the hell is it doing? It's not going to survive. It's going to change. But it's really, really gone, isn't it?
Absolutely. I saw on the news last night that Perth market's down another 1.1% for the month.
Mm.
And we've still got that corridor, that Wanneroo corridor, I call it, where mortgage stress, it's astronomical, but there's no for sale signs yet.
Yep.
And you've got the debacle that's Mandurah, which I liken to Newcastle, but with more mosquitoes.
Well, 38% down from its peak in 2006, Mandurah.
That's a bloodbath. Yep. And
But I'll tell you something else. The number of off-the-plan sales in the West was around 200 month before last, went up to 1,600 this last month.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. So there you
Guess
go.
Why?
Government.
Government, state and federal stimulus packages. So there's been an absolute bloodbath emerging there as well, because people are buying these plan off-the-plan propositions. But what's interesting is if you look at the asking price of those plots last month compared with the previous month, they went up by roughly $45,000, which happens to be the amount of the stimulus packages.
Exactly. And look, I see a lot of comments from people on Twitter that are saying, well, look, maybe people might like to move to Wagga Wagga, and this is the median price. Which Wagga, for people's information, was voted the happiest place in Australia 2011. So I think it's due to a lot of sport. But in Perth, I don't know why people would go regional New South Wales when you can move within 5 km of the Perth CBD and have everything of a major city, and you've got units with a three in front of it as well. I know that there's been a lot of buying with the stimulus. But I just see, you know, we're going to have regional areas that are going to increase in price because people don't have to live close to the city anymore. It's like, what the hell? But you're right, this government stimulus is having an impact. And we have suburbs to the north of Perth, such as Alkimos, which Keystart driven, which are going to become mortgage prisons by the sea.
Yeah, and that's the really the point, right? Because I've been watching a number of postcodes over there in the West, and I've been watching the prices come down, and I've been watching the mortgage stress go up, and I've been watching the negative equity growing. You know, the story is consistent, unfortunately, in a number of postcodes up and down the coast. Not quite so bad in some of the areas closer into Perth, but as soon as you come out a bit, it's pretty consistent. But as I keep saying, and I'll say again, you know, East Coast, just watch a and learn from what's been happening over in the West for the last 5 to 8 years, because we are about to enter that same cycle, in my view, down the East Coast.
Exactly. And you look at the listings that have risen 17% in Melbourne in the month of June. I actually talked to a leading real estate agent in Melbourne who's saying that, had those price increases, but that was just due to a lack of stock. Mm. But once that changes, all bets are off, and you've got areas. I mean, I grew up on the northern beaches of Sydney, and I just don't see how a starter house in Terrey Hills can hold $1.6 million. It's ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. And, that northern beaches stretch is just congested now. The beaches aren't attractive as what they were. And when you're in a downturn, an economic downturn, when you're fearing for your job, the lure of an ocean view, well, how much is that worth? It gets pretty much discounted to zero.
Mm.
And, I'm seeing now people are saying, well, look, this stimulus is working, prices aren't going to fall. But as we know, with any generic off-the-shelf housing bubble, it has to lose 70% of its gains, then throw in an absolutely shit-house economy. Let's not mince words, Martin. You've got retail's off a cliff. You've got every person's probably fearful for their jobs. Like, I know Qantas pilots international, which had the best life, even a second officer was earning $300,000 a year, give or take, and then suddenly they don't have a job. And especially those that are flying an aircraft, they're not going to reinstate. This is a lot worse than what people realise. And once the stimulus wears off, what's left?
Yeah, well, I think we've moved into the next phase of unemployment. The first phase of unemployment were mostly, short-term jobs, part-time jobs, casuals. And a few of those have now come back to work because, retail's opening up in some areas, et cetera, et cetera. But the structural unemployment, which is coming out of corporate land, big companies making quite big cuts in the number of people that they employ, that's accelerating. So a number of consulting firms, for example, have announced big cuts, and a number of other companies too. The point is that those workers, employers, are actually on very big salaries, and they are not going to be able to keep the same lifestyle that they had on whatever JobKeeper or even JobSeeker morphs into in a few months' time. That is a tremendously significant factor in the downward momentum in the economy over the next not just 6 months, but probably 18 months to 3 years. And that's why I'm of the view that we haven't seen anything yet. And okay, the government will definitely extend the stimulus and try and throw more money at it. But, the size of the problem that I'm seeing and the fact that a lot of these people have multiple properties, multiple mortgages and all those things, and they've got a lifestyle, that suits one level of income, but their income's going to be a very different level. That's what I think people haven't yet woken up to.
Yeah, it's like the gully scene from The Big Short with the stripper who has five lines in a condo. And you saw Steve Carell's face.
Yep.
I mean, that just summed up exactly where we're at. And I actually put that clip on Twitter because I think that's more relevant to where we are right now.
Mm.
And interestingly, my 16-year-old son can't get a part-time job. And he said, Dad, can I borrow $250? And I said, well, you haven't got a job. And that's the issue. It might as well just be a gift.
Yeah.
But look, you're absolutely right, Martin, about the unemployment, because it is going to get worse. You're not going to be able to attract these astronomical salaries at all. There's a limited amount of lower skilled jobs for people that are overqualified. And sadly, if you look at, you go into a Domino's somewhere, all those jobs are taken by people who are prepared to get out and work.
Yep.
And they've kept them and they've learnt these skills. They've gone into essential jobs like aged care and childcare. That a lot of people now would wish, hey, I wish I had that job. So, it's an absolute disaster waiting to happen, because once companies don't want to spend, then we've got issues. And I just did my compliance exams to stay an advisor. And now the view is that companies should put people and the economy and the environment ahead of profits. But if you're listed on the stock exchange, it's profits first. Because staff sadly come second, and you look at the layoffs in Qantas, and it's frightening. But they're answerable to the shareholders.
Well, it's interesting because they're saying, you know, quoting the international travel authorities and agencies, that it could be years before the airline industry comes back to anything like it was previously. It may never come back, you know. I mean, that's a very profound change, very profound shift. And, you know, you can pretty much look across all sectors. You know, the financial sector is under significant pressure with the lower margins. They're already cutting jobs and will have to cut a lot harder. So, you know, there's very little evidence of businesses investing at all. In fact, there was a bit of a peak in corporate lending in March because people basically grabbed the credit lines they had, but they're not actually investing now. And just going back to the unemployment, I'm very concerned about youth unemployment. So, you know, the youngest set, that number is very high, horribly high. It's well over 20%. Some would say it's nearly 30%. That is a huge waste.
Exactly. And I think that's going to lead to more crime, more drugs. You know, we're going to have another meth epidemic, which we've already had. I'm worried about my children's future. Mm. You know, my daughter just passed a KFC management. I'm proud of her, but to me, that's still going to be a damn good career. And you see that they've now bumped up the prices of arts and commerce degrees. Yep. So financial advisors that are being forced to have these degrees are going to be forced to undergo even more stress at a time when advisors are leaving the industry and people need advice. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, well, I think it's certainly very chaotic and complicated. And let me just sort of switch the conversation over to the finance sector and the stock markets in particular, right? Because they've still been rising. And one of the things I've been watching is the rise of new investors, so people who've just come onto the stock market for the first time, right? Because they basically started buying in when the markets were down and they've been riding it up. You know, and there are a number of companies around the world who are offering trading accounts at very cheap rates to get these people in. Some, of course, with leveraged investments. And I think that's another traffic accident probably going to wait to happen.
Yeah, I just labelled them the Crocodile Dundees today. It's the Robin Hoods in America because, you know, we saw them punt Hertz, a company in bankruptcy. And over the last few days, there's been three companies on the ASX that have increased over 1,000% intraday. Mm. That's just unheard of.
Yep.
One of them was Etherstack, which announced a reseller deal with Samsung. That went from 17 cents. It peaked at $3.70. It's now $1.25. We had Alterity ATH, which went 1.7 cents to 42 cents. Now, they issued a heap of shares at 3.3, so they're back to 6 cents now.
Mm.
And the other one, Door Savvy, announced an agreement alliance with QBE, and then it went up over 1,000% as well. So people should understand that the stock market is difficult. I think you go into it, you're going to lose money for 5 years. I mean, I've been advising on it for 22 years. I had, during the dot-com bubble, I had 500 clients. I got to know them, but only out of my traders, only two could turn it around. So I think this gambling is going to be a terrible habit. People are cashing in their super, so they're spending on gambling, house deposits, women, drugs, and punting the stock market where they've got no idea.
I agree. A lot of the superannuation extraction, and maybe even job seeker and job keeper, a lot of that money is going into stuff that is not anything long term, and it's high risk, and a lot of it's going to the markets.
Yeah. So my view is that the Dow Jones is 25-30% overvalued.
Yep.
So what that's the biggest threat to these Crocodile Dundees and Robin Hoods. However, if the Dow Jones corrects in an orderly fashion, gets down to 17, 18,000 points, we're still going to have this speculative mania. And we've now got all these chat channels. We've got all these dissemination of information. So as we predicted, we discussed this before COVID, that the ASX was going to become, it's already a casino, it's going to become incredibly dangerous. So, yeah, my industry, I was competing against other brokers, professionals. Now, with zero commission trades, people can change their minds as many times as they like. And for someone in my position, I actually think it's the best thing to happen to full service brokers, where we can sometimes take out our trash, Martin, where there's enough volume to absorb what we have to sell.
Yeah.
The market is littered with rubbish, and it takes years to work out what's rubbish. And the same thing, it's relevant to the property market as well. You buy unit developments in the outer western suburbs, and you could lose 70 to 80%. So we knew this would happen, and I think it's only going to get worse, because the old flipping property isn't going to work anymore. The stock market, the thing that drives the stock market is positive feedback. So if someone says, oh, I made thousands of dollars intraday doing this, and then they tell their friends, and then it's just a pyramid scheme.
Mm.
But well, yeah.
And of course, the point is, for every sell, there's a buy, and for buy, there's a sell, right? So the question is, you've got to ask yourself, who's on the other side? Where's the smart money, right? And I can tell you that the smart money is not necessarily following suit. They're actually taking advantage of those naive investors to be able to get shot of stuff before things go wrong.
Yeah, and I think that's going to continue. There's lots of companies out there that can issue, that have the capacity to issue cheap shares. The ASX is starting to clamp down on companies that announced anything COVID-related. So you could end up with a suspension. So you could be a day trader and suddenly your stock's in suspension. And the risk-reward of buying something, it just doesn't stack up. But I guess people are stuck at home. They're bored. They're trying to make money. And I think that since property and retail sectors are off, the ASX is going to get a lot more dangerous. And also, the big bubble has been buy now, pay later. It's unheard of what's happened. Some of the smartest short sellers, I think, would be absolutely bleeding with what Afterpay's done.
Yeah, I think you're right on that as well. I've done quite a lot of work on the buy now, pay later sector. It's very interesting. You know, people who used to use payday loans are starting to use buy now, pay later. And there's a whole bunch of other people who basically just need to spread the payments out, and they find it's quite a convenient way of doing it. But what is interesting is that around 25% of people who use buy now, pay later end up paying late fees. So it's not necessarily a zero-sum game.
No, and I think this issue is only going to get worse. And again, when you're in a situation where everyone's starting to be fearful, people aren't going to upgrade cars, they're not going to upgrade electricals. I know there's lots of bargains. There's been some relief rallies with shopping, but no, it's a dreadful mess. Basically, our economy's attracting to something like in the 70s, as well, much smaller economy. But sadly, the stock market and the property market are pricing in a return to normal, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to see how it can happen, given what we said about unemployment, given what we said about the fact that, you know, the borders internationally are going to be locked down. That means the international travel down here to Australia from both tourists and from students is definitely frozen for quite some period of time. And the trade data that came out today also showed that, in fact, even coal actually had slipped a bit in terms of volume and price. So, it's, you know, some of our core exports are also looking a bit sick now. So, you know, other than more government spending and investment, which they probably will do, and they'll probably throw more money at the property market again, and they'll, you know, and did you see that ScoMo was actually spruiking the new first home buyer grant from 1 July? You know, he retweeted Michael Sucker's tweet, which was all about great, you know, first time buyers pile in. I'm thinking, hang on, these guys are giving financial advice and they're spruiking the property market.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of this unnatural stuff going on, but none of it's necessarily going to stick, and none of it is going to be necessarily sufficient to be able to turn the economy on its head, as it were, and back up again. So I'm still modelling a couple of years at least of sideways and down, and you know, translate that back, that means that the property market's also going to go the same way. So I still think that we haven't yet seen the worst. I do run different scenarios, as you know, but unfortunately, I think my central case is looking more negative than it was even a month ago.
Absolutely. And we know that, you know, it's an off-the-shelf speculative bubble, and it has to correct. It was going to correct before COVID. It was correcting properly before the election, the surprise election result. We're now into a world that's gone incredibly PC. You look at the Simpson characters, the Black Lives Matter. Look, I was actually seconded to Redfern during the 94 riots in a uniform. I was a cop. I was fearful every shift. Every shift, our car was bricked. I was bricked dealing with the Aboriginals. I'm allowed to call them Aboriginals. But I treated everyone. If you're a cop, look, it's simple. Communication, discretion, reasonable force. I mean, what happened in America wasn't reasonable force.
Yep.
But if someone grabbed my taser or gun, I'm going to defend myself. But I just worked through that. But I must say that in the Redfern area, Tony Mundine, Anthony's father, was the glue between us, and he did amazing things. But, you know, all these Simpsons, when you go into all this rubbish and the riots and the spread of COVID, I just think it's ridiculous. And it gave the youth of America a chance to ride on Rodeo Drive. I mean, I don't know where the world's heading. It's not a very good place, Martin, but, you know, I'm not afraid to speak up. I treated everyone equally. I know what it's like to have a brick thrown at me by someone, an Aboriginal. I'm not meaning to be racist, but I'm just telling the truth how it is. And, you know, Redfern now is a blue chip suburb. But that, to me, the social unrest was born by what happened in America, as opposed to the unemployment issues that we're going to see in Australia and the crime waves that are yet to happen.
Yeah. Well, I'm certainly with you in terms of expecting to see more social unrest and more disruptive behaviour. You know, and again, going back to Mandurah, right, where we started the conversation, right, look at what's happening there with the druggies and everything else. It tends to follow in a downturn that essentially the social cohesion weakens. And in fact, there's a greater polarisation between the haves and the have-nots, and all of that creates more strain and tensions. And I do worry, therefore, for the future, simply because of the fact that, you know, Australia on the surface is a very attractive place to be, and, you know, the social norms are actually pretty positive generally. But I think we're going to find it very confronting over the next couple of years. And I am quite fearful of some of the things that may well play out.
Yeah, and it's going to be a nasty economic contraction. But what happens when we go through, we have the big correction, and then suddenly interest rates, I hate to use it, start to normalise.
Yeah.
Then what's going to happen to people that have managed to hang on to an $800,000 mortgage? Again, people should remember the average mortgage rate was 9.41%. And people think that, you know, it's like the hot ball shot, someone that throws baskets. Look, it is going to be lower for longer, but once the system's cleansed, rates normalise, and then suddenly people have got an issue. So the way I see it is, people need to take the hit now. You know, have the balls to put your house on the market, get it done. If you're $50,000 in negative equity, take it on the chin. Get your life sorted out before the bloodbath starts. And come September, it's going to happen. It has to happen, and it will. Australia is no different to the rest of the world. And suddenly it's every person for themselves.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very interesting. I still get the story. Australia's unique. Australia's different. The government will bail us out. The Reserve Bank will bail us out, right? And I think that's now becoming hope rather than expectation. And, you know, I think you're right. People should be thinking very seriously about their current financial situation and how it plays out, and be making plans. And you know, it's still not too late to make some of those plans now, because this is not going to turn around, you know, in a few months. I think that this is going to be a very serious long-term dip. And there will be survivors, there'll be winners, and there'll be losers, but many people are going to get caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, once reality is matched in markets, you know, there's going to be a book, I think, written for the benefit of aliens. People will go into the future and just laugh about the way we were, how delusional Australians were, how the world went batshit crazy in 2017 on speculation in crypto, milk powders, cannabis, and all that rubbish. Because, you know, if Japan Airlines in the height of the Nikkei can get to 350 times earnings, and real estate, garden outside Tokyo can be worth more than the state of California, stupid shit can continue, Martin. And, you know, I'm an optimist on certain levels, but sadly, no, I don't like where we're heading at all.
No. Well, I appreciate your time once again, Tony. And that microphone is beautiful. I love listening to you on it. So we must do another show soon. But thank you for your time this evening.
Look forward to it, Martin. Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks. Take care.